Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 246. It's feeling good. Feeling good is good, just to get that out there, you know, just right off the bat to make sure we are on the same page. And how did that happen? How'd you start feeling good, Tom? Time. It's like the last few episodes have just been, okay, here it is. It got funky. All right, be thankful. Take a couple deep breaths. Embrace your life slowing down. Own your reality. Okay, now start making a distinction between what's real and what's a story. And then time passed. And that was, you know, the last episode. Feeling better. Why? Time. Doing some things again that I hadn't for a long time. How come? Time. And then it was like, I just feel good because I feel good. And I remember like when I kind of came out of my real funk, whatever, 3 or 4 years ago. And I go, I'm just happy. I'm happy. It's like having a good day. And I'm like, hey, this is cool. So that's kind of the joy. Like I've always kind of said, it's just getting through it because you feel better. Now, again, the money you've spent, you know, the savings. I mean, everything. It's nothing like, oh, poof, hey, guess what? I just made it through it. The fear's gone. Didn't kill me. I'm standing here. Nose broken, money gone. Going, what? What? That all you got, life? I'm still here. I'm running with Zen. I'm going to the beach today. What do you got? You know, that's that feel-good thing. And it's not, like I said, it's not at all because anything externally, any circumstances got better, improved, nothing at all. Everything is exactly how it was, except Zen's better physically. I'm better physically, but I'm better mentally. I'm better emotionally. And I know I can take some credit because, you know, I'm aware of my thoughts and my choices, and I'm aware of all that stuff now. So I can go, well, you know, I got through those things. You know, I was saying, hey, you ain't got to be shiny, Tom. Get through this. And I was trying to be that kind of pro-you voice in my own head that I'm always trying to tell people to be or have in their, you know, head. It's just, it's that default, the voice that beats you up consistently, consecutively, frequently, and, you know, that, stopping that and just going, okay, hey, wait a minute, I'm not in the wrong, this isn't my fault, it's not, it's like I'm supposed to pick some big takeaway from this, I'm just supposed to get through this, and then I get through it, I'm like, wow, I know that, I know I was just supposed to get through it because I feel better, I learned some stuff, and now I'm going, okay, every experience is an opportunity to learn something. Okay, I'll just look at it that way. That's a lot easier. So it's kind of like this big perspective shift. And I'm feeling better. I feel good. You know, just, I don't know what to tell you. Listen to the podcast, follow the journey. Hopefully something's resonating to you. But, I, you know, every day I'm telling a story to someone. And it's kind of like I'm just repeating the last 3 or 4 podcasts. You know, make sure you're not judging yourself. Make sure you're owning reality. Make sure you know that in time you'll feel differently. And during that time, how you're handling that time, that's super vital. So, you know, be in control of that space between your ears. Boom. Done. Pro-U Podcast in a nutshell. All right, people, I'm going to stop talking so you can listen to me talk more. But thank you guys for listening, the people that have gone to iTunes. And remember, if you go to iTunes and you're going to comment or rate the podcast, it's kind of funky. So if you just put in Tom Dieters, the Pro-U Podcast comes up. Follow along on my Pro-U Podcast Facebook page. And if anybody wants to chat, wants to share a story, has anything to share at all, ProUPodcast@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Enjoy. Hello, Pro U people, my favorite kind of people. I'm Tom. So I got this little thing off of ye olde Facebooky. was entitled Time, Right on Time, and I changed the title. Yeah, that's how much power I have on the old Pro You podcast. I entitled it Right on Your Time. See what I did there? Moving right along. Here we go. Author unknown. Obama retired at 55. Ronald Reagan took his oath at 69. Sydney is 3 hours ahead of Perth, but that doesn't make Perth slow. Someone graduated at the age of 22, but waited 5 years before securing a good job. Someone became a CEO at 25 and died at 50, while another became a CEO at 50 and lived to be 90. Someone is still single, while someone else got married. Everyone in this world works based on their time zone. People around you might seem ahead of you, while some may seem behind you. But everyone is running their own race in their own time. Do not envy them. Do not mock them. They are in their time zone, and you are in yours. Life is about waiting for the right moment to react. So relax. You're not early. You're not late. You are very much on time. I love that. It's funny because I just know that when people read things or hear things, that different things totally resonate with them, within that. 'Cause just things that I grabbed onto and I thought, you know, because I've seen this a couple times now and rewrote it so I could read it on here because it's like in video form, you know, pulled something else out of it. And I just remembered my mom one time, you know, going through something, and she says, you know, that one house, she goes, those people, they look so happy. You know, their kids are healthy, their parents are alive. And, you know, I didn't get into too much back and forth because, you know, her vision was kind of fixed. But I use that often talking to people. And I would say, that's a snapshot. You know, that's like taking a picture of someone and going, their life is perfect. I mean, one of the parents, either, both, could have had horrendous childhoods. One of the parents could have been divorced multiple times. You know, the children look healthy now. Maybe sometime in the future, they contract a horrible disease. You know, one of the parents dies early, loses a job. One of the kids is kidnapped. You know what I mean? It was like, and that's kind of that thing is like, if you're going to look at someone else in another country, in another time zone. And then you kind of get it going, well, what does that have to do with me? Nothing. But I've spoken a lot about growing up. You know, I grew up in a white neighborhood and there was no, you know, divorced parents. It was really basic, you know, and I remember, you know, hearing, you know, different things as I grew up, but they're like, you know, you don't know you're poor. Until I met another rich kid. You know, you just get this model and you go, okay, this is it. This is the reference. But as you get a little bit older and you meet other people, like, well, wow, look at they have. Wow, look at that relationship. Wow, look what they're driving. Look where they're going. Look where they've been. And then you start, you know, comparing, going, I don't have that. I didn't go there. I didn't get to do that. I don't. And you can get stuck deep in that funk, in that groove of consistently comparing. You know, again, and my, for example, you know, my mother, like I said, you know, whatever it was, a stressful time in her life, not the time to be reflecting. You know, when you have gray goggles on because life has punched you, you don't think forward, you don't think back, you don't reflect, you don't wonder what's it going to be like. And, you know, you just try to get through that moment, get through that day, keep your world small, do the next indicated step, stay in your time zone. You know, because again, listening to this podcast, you can see the ebb and flow. hey, do what you can with what you have, with whom you have it. Why? Well, it might change. Boom. Zen can't run. I don't run. We're not going to the beach. And that sets in. I'm like, wow. I have an old dog and I'm not running. I'm not working out. Ah. Hey, I'm back. Running. Zen's running. He's better. Chasing squirrels. Went to the beach. Do your thing at your time. Ta-da! That's really it. And so, you know, easily stated, harder to apply. But if you can get that going, you're right on time. You're not early. You're not late. You're right on your time. Where you are, what you're doing, you're supposed to be doing. I'm not saying it's fun, comfortable, easy. Because if it's uncomfortable and it's not easy, and it's not familiar, you're supposed to be going through this so you can learn that which you're supposed to learn, so you can apply that knowledge and get out of ye current situation. Feeling me? So, you know, I mean, just many times talking to a client, I'm like, okay, if you're focused on you, you're focused on your stuff, you're going to do better at that. That's a muscle, and that muscle will grow. If you're constantly thinking about others, referencing, comparing, that's a muscle. That muscle will grow. You will get better at comparing and referencing and wondering why not you. And then again, you just know those, you know, kind of victim mentalities. Why me? Why me? Why me? I'm stuck. I never get a break. I never, look what they have. Look what I don't have. And that's just this big ass muscle they've built because they've done it so long. You are very much on time. If you're going through something right now, you're supposed to be learning something right now. If it's good right now, be crazy ass thankful right now. In between something, it really depends upon how you spend that time in between. If something happens, it really is omnipotent how you're responding. If you're kind of bored because there's nothing really bad, then it's vital that you're choosing your thoughts. See, you, your head, the space between your ears, on you. This is kind of a funky thing. I didn't really know how to talk about it, but it kind of shook me. You know, I remember, you know, having a stepdaughter in the house and just what she would post, you know, sitting in traffic, feeling this way, like it was just a thought in her head, and she'd post it. I'm like, wow. It was just, no, I'm not judging at all, but it was just different. You know, people use the internet, social media for all different reasons. The things I've kind of frowned upon and would distance myself from are people that, you know, complain. Like going through a rough time and they're on, you know, Facebook complaining. Like I'm like, I mean, I'm not making you listen to me complain. I mean, I got a bunch of stuff to complain about if you want to listen. And again, when you project it, I have this thing I'm going through. Now I'm going to put it on blast. I'm going to put it on loudspeaker. I never think that that's a good idea. Because it's like you're flaming that fire. I got really bad news last night. And in sleep, I woke up in a horrible mood. And the first thing I'm going to do is put that on social media. I mean, it just grew. It just became more real. But again, people are different. People do different things for different reasons. And again, I'm not judging. I just, like I said, in how I deal, you know, go through times. Like I share it on this podcast because I've been sharing, and it's kind of like a relationship with my listeners. And I've really, really tried, I would think, you know, bottom line, to help people. I mean, if someone said, you know, what are you really trying to help people? Like, that's it. I don't have a lot of frills and bells and whistles to what I'm trying to do. But along that, trying to help people, I've discovered how difficult it is. And there's people that, you know, are really have social anxiety. And they're not internet savvy. And they've never Skyped. And they don't want to Skype. And then this one person I was, you know, emailing back and forth, she didn't know how to Skype, didn't want to Skype. And I said, well, should I call you? And she's like, no, I can't. I don't talk to people on the phone. And I got a really, really sad, kind of scary email from her, how much she needed and wanted help. And I was like, well, you don't want to talk on the phone. You don't want to Skype me. I just felt bad because I knew that that's how deep she was in this funk, in this cave with like no light, no way out. And then there was another person, and you know, they couldn't Skype. And I said, well, let's just chat. And they're like, no, I don't want to talk. And you know, so I get it. You know what I mean? I was a mess for 48 years and doing a little bit better the last five. So again, I'm not judging anybody. I just might not understand certain things and certain things that people post, because I kind of go, well, I kind of have an idea of what you're looking for. I'm just not sure that that's the right way. But that being said, I would much rather have people putting on any type of social media that they need help than not. I've said numerous times, one of the most difficult things is asking for help. It's just really, really hard. And when people send me an email or they confide in me and they, you know, share it, but they don't want me to share it, I mean, I'm just happy they finally did. So again, I'm just trying to kind of explain it. It was just hard to see this. And I was just like, it made me feel a bunch of different things. And that's why I've spoken about the whole social media thing. Like there's just, you know, people use it for different things. And people use it to vent. And people use it for affirmations and to feel good. And that's kind of that thing where if you're looking for, you know, social media to make you feel good, then social media can also make you feel bad. Like if you're getting what you want, then it's good. But what if you don't? You know what I mean? That's kind of my point. So there's a person that went to my high school, and this person posted on Facebook how bad it was for them personally. And that they had attempted suicide, but they were just tired of it all. And it kind of went on for a little bit, and I didn't really like, I mean, if you just see the word suicide, that's what you're thinking. And it didn't say I'm going to, but it said I've tried it, and I'm in a bad place, and people keep saying it's going to get better, and it's not. And it was probably the weirdest reaction I've ever had to something posted. Like, it just made me feel bad. It just made me feel sad for this person. And then I'm like, I don't know. I was just, like, I don't know. I was, like, frozen. I did not know how to respond. Because I'm like, if you're that deep, dark, in a funk, I know how hard it is for a professional to help this person, let alone just random people on the internet. And the next day passed, and I guess this person had got what they needed, because they said, thanks a lot, bunch of friends, you know, chimed in, made me feel better. So I guess it worked out. And the feeling I had, because again, I was like, you just can't write a book statement and You know what I mean? It's like, hey, but one line. There you go. Take that. Run with it. You know, that would be a paragraph after paragraph after trying to advise. Like, I just didn't know what to say. But I was glad this person felt better the next day. But what was in my head? And this is where it gets hard. Because it is really on you. At the end of the day, you know, your personal trainer, your psychologist, your therapist, your whoever can only do so much. And the work truly never stops. And if you feel like you're always working, it might be you've just been in a funk a long time. So it feels like you're kind of in a grinder. People are like, oh, you can get out of that grinder. But you don't. And you stay in that grinder. And there's moments of joy or hope, but by default, it's just always in that grinder. And I think the number one thing people have to realize is you got to get yourself out of the grinder. It helps to have people. It helps to have advice. It helps all that stuff. But even if you're talking to a therapist every day, you talk for an hour. There's 23 hours left in the day that are on you. So I want people to ask for help, but I also want people, and this is the thing, if you know, you can't walk out into the alley and tell the crackhead doing crack, hey, you know, that's not the best thing to do. So that's that thing. When people are into something, they might not even hear it. And if they don't want to hear it, they're not going to hear it. And if they don't want help, they're not going to get help. But if they don't want to help themselves, they will not get better. So the work does not stop. Here I am, 53, working harder than ever, but I'm definitely working smarter because my focus is on me, my flaws, my life, keeping my world small, my choices, my thoughts. I mean, that's a lot of work. And I've been doing it for a long time. So that's like one of the things I would tell a person. If they reached out and said, look, it's so bad. I'm like, look, it's great to reach out and it's great to talk, but you have to remember that it's on you. And it's a fine line, I think, between, you know, blasting bad, flaming that fire, and asking for help. Again, I was very relieved when the next day I saw that this person had, I guess, received some sort of help. Somehow, some way. He felt better and was reassured, and yay. And someone had posted, you know, I hope you're, you know, seeking professional help. And I'm like, yeah, that's the best advice I heard. Because, you know, when you're distant and you can't talk to someone live and you can't drive over there and you can't sit down, it's hard for you. Hey, you in that funk, in that deep, deep, dark funk, go ahead, reach out, call me, Skype me. We've never met, but I'm good. You know, I'm just realizing how difficult that is. So for whatever that story was worth, wanted to share that. Next thing, on a more up note, Live Experience 3 with Kyle Clark has been amazing. Kyle came in for session 24, workout number 4, which just blows my mind because he was so nervous about doing the first one. Never, ever thought about working out on Facebook Live. And here he is doing number 4. And I was taken back. I was watching him and I'm like, this guy's just, he's just moving so well. And he's so excited and he's so happy to be exercising. I gave him a new workout and he bought bands and he got a foam roller. And it was just like a kid with toys. So we get to this one move. So he's doing squats, hands behind her head. So after you squat, you come up, you lift the knee, and then you rotate your opposite elbow. So you kind of rotate your torso. Go down, squat, come up, other side, rotate, twist. So I gave him a new workout. I've given him 3 workouts. And I'll go, okay. And he goes, okay, well, this exercise I've done. So when I'm switching, checking my boxes, this is one I put in all the time. I go, okay. So he starts out, and I'm kind of cutting the moves, number of reps in half, just because we're filming this and I want to get through it all and I want to be able to explain and, you know, critique it and relay the message and do all that without going, okay, 1 to 20. But in this particular move, he was doing it so well, I didn't have to say anything. So I just let him go. And it's hard, and especially when you're a big dude. You know, again, moving your body, squats, lunges, pull-ups, push-ups, those things are you moving your body with your own strength. Hardest thing to do, best thing to do. So he's moving his body, and he's a big dude. I mean, not he's just heavy, but he's tall too. He's like 6'4", 6'5". So going down, squatting, perfect squat, coming up, lifting his knee, rotating his torso, breathing, staying calm, and I'm just watching him. And I mentioned, I go, if I'm not saying anything to you, it's because you're doing it perfect. And I said, I wasn't going to have you do 20 of them, but they were just flawless, and you're moving so good. He goes, yeah, I do these more than any of my other exercises. I always put these in. So he leaves, and I text him. And I said, remember what you said today. Because he felt good after. He just felt good during the workout. I mean, I told him he looked good. It's like, you know, like a fitness guy working out. He's dropped a bunch of weight already. And this is all, you know, 6 months into it where he's feeling 100% better in the head. Now his body's improving. I mean, win, 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 up and down. And I said, just remember that really new, unfamiliar, very uncomfortable move. Because you start out just squatting. You have to do that really well before we start adding knee lifts and torso rotations. You're moving so well. You look like a fitness guy. And the one move that you did so well, you commented that you'd done that more than any other one. And what was that one? It was very uncomfortable, very uneasy, very unfamiliar. And you did it so often that it looked good and you looked comfortable. Just like life. If there is something that you kind of want to do, well, you know, I said successful people, you know, don't do what they want. They do the things that they don't want to do to get it done. So again, he was like, wow, these squats are fun. Is there anything more difficult I can add to them? But he just threw him in for whatever reason. Came in shining and blasted him. I'm like, just remember that note to self. Through repetition, breeds familiarity, breeds confidence, breeds comfortableness, breeds joy, hope. All the good things. Repetition. Consistently doing those little things. So, been to the beach, I think it's 4 times now, in less than 2 weeks. And it feels, you know, like the podcast prior, time passed. Hey, things are back. I'm doing things again. Fantastic. But it was about the, I think it was the third time. I just had this kind of day open, and I was like, I just kind of go to the beach for a little bit. And, you know, I just didn't feel like confident, comfortable. You know, hey, I'm excited to go to the beach like normal. And got my stuff together and got Zen in the car and I was driving. And I could just tell I was a little anxious. Why? Well, maybe I shouldn't be going. Maybe I shouldn't be spending the gas. Maybe I should be doing something else. Maybe I should stop. So I was trying to just keep that. I could feel it. And I said, I was just trying to just keep it at bay. Now, if you're familiar, maybe I've mentioned it before, you've heard it, but the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, is the one, and you can drive, you know, the 10 west, and it turns into PCH, which is my favorite drive. And as soon as you go under a bridge and you turn, you can see the ocean, and now you just drive, well, where I'm driving, north. Up along the ocean, all the whole way. And it's just fabulous. My favorite drive. And I remembered, you know, like when I go to the beach, I go there not because I'm trying to accomplish a lot. I go to the beach because I feel good. The things I do make me feel good. So as soon as I turned that corner and I hit PCH, I felt better. And I was like, okay, here's that thing again I got to remember. Sometimes it's getting to a place and you're going, oh, now I remember why it's good. Because you're sitting at home. I remember like with snowboarding, sometimes it was like, oh, you got to plan, you got to pack, you got to get all this stuff, you got to drive, you got to, it was just, and then you get up on that chairlift and you're about ready to go down the mountain. You're like, this is so epic. I got to remember how good this is. And I just made a mental note. I go, remember how good you felt the moment you got on PCH. And I was like, well, I've been here for like 20 years and I rarely skip a week without going to the beach. Why? Because I like it. I like being there. I like how it makes me feel. I like how it makes me forget. I like how it makes me feel super small. Doesn't matter if I'm happy, sad, or in between, those waves keep coming in. And then I had this great time, you know, at the beach and, you know, just feeling more comfortable with Zen, and he's running around and, you know, dogs coming by and seeing some, you know, people I haven't seen for a while. And, you know, my kind of three favorite beaches are Rincon, Staircase, and Topanga. And Topanga is where I know some people, and I finally made it back there and some people came out, you know, Kathy and her daughter and Jack, friends of mine. And I ran into them and it was just like, oh, you have a good life. Just, you know, on your time. You know, there's a time when you couldn't go, and now it's time you can go again. And so I started thinking about, like, how good I felt. And I shared this with a client. You know, there's a fear. But when that fear is gone, you're like, okay. like it's just gone. Like Kevin Smith was really afraid of dying. And then when he almost died, he's like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. And he was kind of happy that he found out that one fear. And I've mentioned before that Sterling Brown, that actor, goes on Bear Grylls. And the craziest thing, the one thing he's deathly afraid of are raccoons. And they find a frozen raccoon. He's got to dig it up and cut it and cook it and eat it and wear it. And end of the show, he's like, yeah, not afraid of raccoons anymore. He's like, just gone. Like this big, yucky thing in your head is just gone. And I was so afraid. And again, this is this crazy thing. Kind of like talking about it, kind of don't like talking about it. But it's like, you know, you're just stressed about money, finances. You just are. You know, when I didn't have some and was in debt and didn't have savings, you know, stressed about money. When I was making a little more, less debt, a little more savings, stressed. When I didn't have debt, had savings, was making more, stressed. It's like, what's up with that? So I was so afraid and stressed. Because, I mean, it was a bad time. You know, Zen was hurt, and I was going through these dental things, and my window got smashed, and my nose got busted falling out of a wheelchair. So, you know, there are a lot of things going on that's like, hey, you're probably like a 4 or 5 out of 10 right now. So you're more susceptible to that voice, and it's harder to fend off. So that's why you don't want to reflect or think about things or, you know, when it's funky. But you just naturally do. So I'm like, just become, oh, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to go into my savings. I'm going to spend my savings. You know, I had some money in the Bitcoin. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to get that. I'm going to have to get that. And I'm like, well, I was trying to use that. I wanted to. I had things written down. I had a plan. It was on paper. Don't go into that savings. All that's gone. All of it. And that's when I kind of started feeling better. Time had passed, and, you know, I was just feeling good. I'm going to the beach, feeling good. I'm like, you know, all that money's gone. I'm like, I know. Wasn't like that was the thing. It was the fear of losing it or spending it or starting to tap into it. Once it was gone, it was like, okay, well, that's gone. Like, the fear of it was the worst, you know, the anticipation of is actually worse than the realization or the actual experience, the anticipation of, you know. So I just thought it was so funny, like how money can play such a role in how you feel. You know, I was driving around that one day going, why can't I always feel this good? After I left training, my friend Scott. So I started thinking about it. This was the idea. This is the thought that came into my head. If I went back, say, so I've been here about 5.5 years, this apartment in Hollywood. And, you know, spent every Sunday on the couch for a year and a half, had little on the walls, little in the apartment. It was pretty barren. And the things up reminded me of the things I didn't do anymore. So it was kind of a funky time. But I always say to people, if I showed you a video, if I did this, if I went back in time. So if I went back and sat down with myself, I said, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go on a spiritual journey for a year. And you're not going to really pursue money. And after it, it'll be a little harder because you've taken that time off and you'll question and you'll blah, 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 blah. So you can either just make that money now, save up some, invest some, get a little retirement thing going on, and then slow down, take the spiritual journey, and you can rely on that money after. Or you can take that spiritual journey right now. You're feeling kind of funky. You can just do that. And then when you get done, you got to somehow come up with all that money. Like, well, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Obviously, I'll pick one. And option one is it really happened. Like, you can't have everything. So if I think back to like 3-4 years ago, I was just training. I wasn't doing anything, wasn't going anywhere, wasn't spending money, wasn't buying nothing. Because I was depressed. Didn't have a dog. So I'd just go to work, come home, put money in a box, go to work, come home, put money in a box, take that money from a box, put it in another box. That was it. That's all I did. I didn't feel good. Wasn't, you know, like that was it. I was functioning, but had money. Just was bored with it. Like I started, I should just buy some stuff. Started feeling better, started buying some stuff. Started buying some new stuff for my apartment. I bought a new camera. Bought a new phone. Maybe I'll buy some land. This is just never going to stop coming in. But I wasn't that good. I didn't have a whole lot going on. So now you fast forward. Way better. Every facet of my life. Got a dog. He's wonderful. We just went through 3 months of something. Made it through it. He's like better than ever. I'd love him more than ever. I went through a whole tooth dentist endo thing. And just about at the end of that. I mean, it's so good right now. Except that one area. So if you go back on, okay, look, you get to have a bunch of money and nothing else, or everything else and not that much money, what would you pick? Again, I'd pick this. So how it worked out, how it's working out, is probably how I would have picked it if given the choice. Now, time, healing, has given me clarity. And the clarity is that which allows me to feel good. You know, there was that week, at the end of the week, going, nothing's really changed and I feel so much better. And I started to go, okay, remember this. Remember, like you're pulling little nuggets out. Remember this. Okay, here, you got through that better. You didn't bum out that long. You're okay now. Look how good you're doing now. And I was like, I'm good at my job. I feel good. You know, I'm like out there doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'll share a little story. I like this. I mean, I don't toot the horn, my own horn that much, but there's moments when I just feel good, you know. And the first session I had with Hardwick after, you know, he got the news, you know, definitely not in the best mood. And I, this, you know, when this happened, this is, you know, whatever, 2 months ago. I was not in a great place. And I go over there, I have no idea what he's going to be like. Because I didn't see him for like 2 weeks. And I left there almost out of body. Like, damn, I was good. Like, I was like, I loved what I, because, you know, people that are in a bad, bad way, it's kind of hard to talk to them sometimes. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be told. They've heard it enough. They're drained, whatever. And I'm not even there just to talk. I got to train you. I got to work you out. I got to get you moving. But that's always been my vehicle to get people to feel better. And I left and I knew he felt better. And I was like, I made someone like that feel better in that moment. And this isn't me bragging. This isn't me toot my own horn. This is me realizing that when I've been in a funk and the things I've gone through and when I'm feeling horrible, I have still built another muscle. I have built this ability, and it's through that passion and concern for people that my heart came out. It was like by default, everything I needed to say came out. Like, it wasn't me. That's me. I'm not like trying to go, oh, look at me, because it was like I got done going, who the hell was that? You know, I would have liked to have heard that, and of course I did. Always two people listening. So I left feeling better because I could do that. I left feeling better because of the things I said. I left feeling better because that came out of my mouth. And I was not feeling pumped up about me, my life, or what was going to happen in that session. And then like with Kyle, last 4 or 5 sessions with Kyle, every time we get done, I know how much better he feels. So then I feel better. And I'm like, well, fantastic. Come to my well, by the water I sell. What's your whole goal with this podcast, Tom? Creating energy. This is the energy I'm talking about. I'm telling you about my stories. I'm sharing my experience, and that's an energy. And then I'm sharing that energy, and hopefully that motivates you, stimulates you, educates you, inspires you, resonates something where, now, okay, now you got a little energy going. Now that energy comes back. I get that energy, it's, you know, sent out, received, sent back, full circle. It's creating that energy. People feeling good. People feeling better. I'm like, wow, Tom was in a funk, made it through it. He's feeling better. Sounds better. I could do that. He's a mess. He did. I could do it. It's taken him a long time. He's old as hell. Here's another example. In this moment, I loved. Had this client for a long time, and they've never quit. Not been shiny, not been a straight line. Never really not lost a lot of weight. But between the ears, this person has changed dramatically. So they're in the industry in LA where you work a job. The job ends, you're unemployed, then you get another job. And in between, so it's like a lot of us in between, we're not always excelling on ourselves because we're stressed about money. We got a lot of time. Time's hard to deal with. So we don't feel that well. We're not sleeping that well. We're not eating that well. And then we get the job. We come back. We're like, okay, but now we're busy and we're stressed for that. So it's like, well, we got to start having that faith and belief that the in between is where I personally grow. I get better. And then I come back better for that next job. Knowing it'll happen, having belief, having faith that I will get that next job, that next client, that next thing, that next opportunity. Not by sitting at home white-knuckling it. Because as my client was stressed, based on a choice he made for the betterment of his career, he knew he would go a little bit longer without employment. And he might have to take a job that wasn't as grand, but he had to do this kind of for his career. Well, this is the first time that he had ever felt confident enough to say no in a particular situation. So that was huge. And I saw that from afar going, dude, you haven't been able to stand up and do that for yourself for the last 3-4 years. Congrats. But he knew that was choosing unemployment longer, harder, maybe taking some uncomfortable paths back. So he wasn't feeling good. Wasn't sleeping well. kind of had a stomach thing. Had a stomach thing, wasn't eating well. Wasn't eating well, had a stomach thing, wasn't moving. So we missed the session, came in, feeling better. We talked about it, and then you could see his growth. I could tell I was not doing as bad as I normally would. And I wasn't trying to beat myself up. It was just kind of bizarre how I was feeling bad. And these things were happening without me jumping on the bandwagon and doing it. And so I stopped him and I turned it around. And we started chatting and he started moving. So we're about a half hour, 40 minutes into the workout. And I was pointing out the things that he had been doing. And I'm like, look, but if you go, I'm going to make a big stressful decision. And it's going to be pro me, but it's going to be hard. And after that, it's going to be tough. So I'm probably not going to be feeling great. Embrace that. How you feeling? Not great. Perfect. But realize why you're not feeling great is because of this really awesome pro you choice that you made. And then you said, hey, I know for a fact I'm not doing as bad. And I haven't gained weight. And I thought about canceling today and I showed up. See, that's got nothing to do with your trainer, your therapist, your psychologist, your coach, your cheerleader. You realized all that on your own, woke up in a funk because of all of it going on, tired still, funky still, and said, no, me staying home ain't going to make me feel better. Let me just at least go there. What's there? Me, my voice, way better than the voice in your head. He comes moving. He starts feeling better. He starts listening. All of a sudden, I stop him. I just felt so fired up. And he kind of thought, I go, no, stop. Like, look at me. And he's like, what? I go, right now, do you or do you not feel better right now than you did 40 minutes ago or any time this morning? He's, yes, without a doubt. Didn't even pause. I said, okay, perfect. What have you just done? You've shown that it's possible to feel better right now. Now, has anything changed in your life? I say this all the time. No, 40 minutes, last 40 minutes, nothing has changed in his life. Got better, nothing, but he feels better. So you've just proved to yourself that that feeling better in this time is possible. Not by what I did. If you didn't choose to wake up, you didn't choose to look at the things how you did, you didn't choose to overlook that funk and choose to come here and work out, none of this would be happening. I wouldn't be saying this. You wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be feeling better. You did this. You made choices this morning that made you feel better. And when you came here, I just pointed it out. And he's smiling and feeling good. And I said, okay. So that means if you start feeling funky, on you. I'm like, wait a minute. I was feeling funky for a few days, showed up at Tom's, and within a half hour, 45 minutes, I felt better. So that means I can do that whenever I want, not by getting a job, making money, working out the world's problems, figuring out the whole priority list. But if I can feel better, and it just happened, great. I don't need to know the reasons behind. Two and two is four. I thought this way. I showed up. I didn't cancel. I feel better. I listened to Tom's voice. Okay, cool. I'm going to do that. I said, now all you're going to think about is going home. And then when you get home, that's all you're going to think about is, I don't know, maybe showering, eating, whatever it is, but that next indicated step. You got to think of it this way. I'm going to have a great day by the choices I made. Just that, today. Don't think about tomorrow, next week. What if you don't get a job for 3 months? Of course you're going to feel bad doing that. Stay present in the moment. So if I'm like, well, I wrote down things to eat. I wrote down when I'm going to work out. I worked out with Tom this morning. Here, now you have things to think about. When you're like, I'm not working out, I'm not doing good, you don't have things to think about, and the only thing to think about is that you're not doing it. So now you're feeling bad, and then you start beating yourself up because you're not making those choices. So it's, again, yellow, purple. Yellow, you're talking about the bad. Purple, you're doing stuff that's good. End of story. You don't have to be fabulous. You don't have to be wonderful. And like I said, it's not climbing every mountain. It's just one. He might not get a job for 3 months or 6 months. Fine. What are you doing today that makes you feel good about you today? That's what you work on. And if you're not sleeping well, work on that. If you're not hydrating enough, work on that. If you're not moving at all, work on that. if you're not doing those little bitty lists, those 3 to 4 things, 5 to 6 days a week, you're not going to feel the best you. If you're not the best you, you're not going to feel good. And if you're not feeling good, you're not going to see with clarity and perspective. And like I said, that's basically what I'm experiencing now. I had some gray goggles on and things weren't looking good. But I realized I wasn't as bad as I was before. I realized I could still be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, I can remain thankful. That helps me from the low lows. And then I get through it. I'm like, oh, I got through it. I feel pretty good. What about that fear? It's gone. And I'm like, wow, my fear's gone and I feel good. And I'm training people well. And I'm changing how they feel. And I'm taking people who are in funks. And before I walk out the door, they feel different. They feel better. And it's with facts and data that I'm providing. And that's exciting to be me. And I'm not taking any credit. Because it's not been in a straight line. Nothing that's happened to me, especially in the last 3 months, anything that I conceived or planned, I could not have orchestrated this path. So there is something bigger than me that I have faith in and that I have belief in. And I believe that that little area of finances is going to be fine. It's going to work out somehow, some way. I'm just going to stay focused on these 6 or 7 beautiful things that I have that I'm going to focus on, that I'm going to revel in, you know. That's where I'm going to stay as best as I can. And I've learned that the last 3 months. We don't get everything. We don't get it all the time with everyone that we want to enjoy. It's your time right now to do your best, to not judge, to embrace your reality, to choose your thoughts, to deem yourself worthy. Get through what you have to get through. Grow through that which you go through. And if it's really, really bad, keep going until you get through it. Once you get through it, you will feel better. Once you feel better, you will gain the lesson learned, and you can evolve and move forward. And the better you get at that, the more pro you are. That's what I'm hoping. That's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. That each and every one of you can kind of be pro you in your own way, devising your own little schematic, your own little map, your own little list of to-dos to be pro you. So you can become just a little bit better at being you, and your life gets a little bit easier as is. Again, come to my well. That's the water I sell. That's what I'm trying. You being better at you. Life as is. And then it will feel better and it will feel easier and you'll feel more empowered and you'll feel more in control. All right, I'm going to end with this thing I found on Instagram. And the person's name is Colleen Poling, P-O-L-I-N-G. And she's called the Nutrition Translator. She's a nutritionist. But what she wrote was pretty cool, and it kind of dealt with something I was talking on, I think, the last episode about, you know, attaching yourself to things. So she writes, "Do you know the difference between attachment and connection? Attachment has the power to completely take us away from the present. It keeps us either in the past or the future, longing for things to be final or permanent. Connection, on the other hand, makes room for the unexpected. Connection is intimate, synced, vulnerable, and present. Connection and attachment are reflections of our self-worth. If we are attached, we may struggle with valuing our own being. I read that part twice. I won't even explain why. Here we go. If we are attached, we may struggle with valuing our own being. We may lower our standards from what we actually want. It is codependent and fear-based. Attachment is expectation-focused and doesn't make room for anything outside the limiting belief of what should be. Attachment is always in a rush. Attachment feels restricted. If we allow room for connection, play, and curiosity, we feel our self-worth at a much higher level. Connection looks at relationships and experiences as endless ways to learn. Connection supports healthy dependency. Connection makes room for whatever comes up. All is welcome. Connection takes its time. It's expansive. I have always known that I desire deep, soul-shaking connections and intimacy. But up until recently, I realized what really was happening was that I have been clinging on way too tight. I have been confusing the two for most of my life until now. It's time now to show up for myself, speak my truth, connect to the moment, make room for it all, and let go of idea permanence. This will attract and create bonds with the right people, experiences, and moments that I've always wanted. So again, I hope something out of there you can pull, take from, resonated with you. And remember, you are worth it. Spoken lately about slowing down and how much you can learn when you slow down, but it seems like every time I say pro you moment slowly, I just feel what that means, and it kind of just always sets me in that mood to be like, wow, I'm talking to that one person right now. You pro you being in this moment, being present, deeming yourself worthy. Dig that you're here. So if you can sit on the floor, fold your legs, fantastic. You need to sit another way. Totally stoked that you're here, showing up. Suit up, show up, something can happen. Don't suit up, don't show up, guaranteed nothing will happen. Once seated, let's begin to control that which we can control. Eyes closed. Neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Let's draw that inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow it down. We're going to elongate it. Thus, experiencing it. Feeling it. Connecting our mind and our body to this moment, making us present. Those are the thoughts we kind of want happening in between our ears. Something else comes in kindly, calmly. Ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds, and I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Another very successful pro-U moment. And saying I'm thankful is kind of like breathing to me. It's been drilled into my head. And I said it a number of times how thankful I am for the podcast. Because I know at the end of the day, like, I just want to help people. Like, that's what I like doing. I like taking people from the funk to a path of clarity. And I'm thankful I got to a point, like, around the corner where now I'm walking life, having experiences, sharing those experiences. And that's having an effect. And it just goes to show you, you don't have to be anything special at all. You just gotta be you. But you gotta be the best you, so you gotta deem yourself worthy. But you also have to be gentle and kind and understanding and loving yourself unconditionally and supportive. And it might be because there's no one else in your life being that way to you. And so at the 53-year vista, I see things a lot clearer. I see things a lot quicker. I can stop a thought. I can input a thought. And I can do that with others. Simply walking my straight line to the best of my ability. Never very shiny, never sparkly, never considered myself winning. I was just getting through stuff. But now I realize that's the goal, that's the gift. Get through, you win. Get through, you learn. When you win and you learn, then you apply that to your today, to your now, to your present moment. Once you do that, you can achieve anything in your life. But you gotta start, you gotta deem yourself worthy and be okay with being unperfect. Time. Get through the time. Deal with the time. Handle the time. Cope with the time. And you will know that which you are supposed to learn. And when you do, you grow. That's living. That's life. Peace and God bless.